Hello, all you positive heads out there. It's so good to be back with all you beautiful reflections of the one source consciousness that creates and animates all things. If you're new to this podcast, of course, we're super happy to have you here. And if you've been listening and enjoying for a while, I would be super grateful if you would please take a moment to give us a review on Apple Podcasts. It's one of the best and simplest ways to pay it forward and help others find the show so that they too can tap into the powerful perspectives and positive vibrations we are collectively emanating. The other unique and magical way to share this show is by sending any friends you think would benefit from listening to this podcast our Game with the Universe link at positivehead.com/game. Also listed in the show notes, which will serve them up a quote-unquote random episode when they click it. Just instruct them before clicking the link to close their eyes for a moment and sincerely ask the universe to cue up the episode that contains the insight and perspectives that they most need to hear at this point in their life journey, and then click to listen to whatever episode is synchronistically served up to them. I have heard time and time again from people about the incredible results they received playing the game. So just tell your friends, magical results are guaranteed or their karma back.
All right, all you positive heads, welcome. Welcome one and all. I am super excited that you've joined me on this magical today. Today, I'm going to answer a question from a listener. And I am super grateful to this listener for turning in this question because, as a matter of fact, this theme has been coming up quite frequently with a lot of the clients that I see. And I also love it when you guys send me questions because it makes my job so much easier. I can answer questions so much easier than I can come up with a topic off the top of my head. Twice a week, every week, times how many years have we been doing this? So it's so much easier for me to answer the questions that you guys are curious about. So please feel free to send me your questions. It doesn't always mean I'm going to pick them to use them for the podcast. At the same time, it doesn't mean I won't. I typically will answer questions that seem synchronistic. Because when it's synchronistic in my life or in the things that I've been seeing with my clients, that means it's going to be pretty synchronistic within the collective. And so I always love to go with those kind of questions. And you never know. You never know whose question, maybe it's yours, that may be for the day. So here is Paige's question. I was born in a non-denominational Christian home. Both my parents are pastors, and that's been my life for the past 23 years. Last year, I broke up with my girlfriend. Pastor's kid with another girl? ? I know, right? I worked myself to death trying to hide it. And it was very difficult and traumatizing for me, as I'm sure it is for tons of people. Looking back, I'm thankful and grateful for the brutal pain and agony I went through after my breakup, because it has led me to shift my life, body, mind, and perspective in a whole new way. My best friend has always talked to me about meditation, our third eye. The fact that we are literally a part of God. But of course, I've dismissed her my whole life, being in my Christianity perspective and way of thinking. Claiming to be God, a creator, or listening to your feelings had always been sinful and blasphemous. Until I was in a place in which I was confused, mourning from my breakup, and craving to know what my purpose was, that is, when and the only reason it could all begin. I wouldn't be able to really try and shift my perspective unless I was in that low place that I was. I ended up leaving my parents' church after the fact that I experienced undeniable, uncomfortable feelings and thoughts pertaining to the religious practices and messages. My family is based on religion, and I am one who wants to keep the peace and sacrifice mine. So I spent 6 months in uncomfortableness as though I could never leave, or else I had to leave my family as well. It came to a point where I would come home from church and cry in frustration at the fact that I have free will to leave, but felt very much stuck. It took a lot of mental strength, but I left about 2 months ago. I've been coexisting with my family, with the fat elephant in the room, that I'm not really a part of the club anymore. but they still treat me with kindness and respect, which I appreciate more than they know. I guess I felt the need to go on a tangent to bring you to this question. Not a tangent, Paige. History is always very important, so thank you for sharing that. And it also helps all the listeners understand what your situation is and where you're coming from. What is the best way to let go of someone you know is draining you and stunting your growth when you know their reaction will be grueling and possibly manipulating? I'm an empath. It can be difficult for me to let go because I don't want to feel like I blindsided or hurt anyone. The thing is, I risked my whole family and accomplished something that was draining me even though I was afraid of that outcome and reaction from my family. I put myself first. I just don't know why I'm struggling so much to do it again. Let me know what you think. Thanks again for all you do. Thank you, Paige, so much for sending this in. Because first of all, I just want to say, you are not alone. I see so many clients who come in and they tell me very similar stories. And I'll tell you why this is, that you're not alone. Because as souls, we decide to come in to families like this. Because overarching theme is children teach the parents. Parents think that they're here to teach their children. Well, they teach them the basics so we can survive, right? But ultimately, children are here to teach the parents, something that's a very important lesson for the parent to learn. And so it sounds like in your case, you came in to your family to help your parents learn how to accept, learn how to lay down those walls of what society thinks and what the neighbors think you should and shouldn't do, and accept regardless, because overall, they love you. And that's the biggest thing that I picked up from what you said about your family, is that you have been treated with kindness and respect. And I think that that is wonderful, because there are many in a situation like this whose families will be very disrespectful and unkind. And so that is so wonderful that you're able to at least be in an environment like that, although the beliefs are challenged and your way of life is challenged. And that is where I would maintain my focus. My family is being kind and respectful to me. They don't have to agree with me. And I don't have to agree with them. And we can all agree to disagree. And that's okay. I can live my life and they can live theirs. And maybe, maybe, just maybe, as you continue to do this more and more and set this example, they will learn a little something from you. Maybe you will open them up by them watching you and seeing how you grow and you evolve. This is how children come in to teach the parents. We upset them. We do things that they don't want us to do. Whatever the parents' main issue is, wherever they need to learn and grow and accept, well, you can pretty much bet that they're gonna have a kid that's gonna come in and do that thing that they are not accepting of because they need to learn. And so what a beautiful job you are doing here, teaching these souls to be more accepting. And the best way that you can teach them to be more accepting is to be more accepting of them. Let them have their ways, and you have your ways. When I think about this topic, what I always see in my mind is the tarot card of the devil. And this is something that, of course, from a Christianity background, this will make you feel like, I don't want to talk about that card. I don't like the card. The devil has been a program that Christianity has taught, Catholicism has taught, many churches have taught. And what this is just an archetype. Just an archetype. It is a theme that we all live under in this blueprint that we call existence, that we live here on this earth under these certain kind of rules, under these archetypes that we all need to learn and know these aspects within ourselves. There is a devil aspect within all of us. We all have a dark side. And this side of us will make us feel unworthy, and we will need acceptance from another because we are not claiming our own self-worth just yet. And when we do, that devil is no longer part of our archetype because as you see in the tarot card, there are these two humans that are standing and they have chains around their neck and around their wrists, and they are so easily removed. These chains are symbolic of the chains that we put on ourselves from the thoughts and feelings and desires of society, of our parents, our friends, our coworkers, anyone that we know. Those chains are the things that others want us to do, the shoulds. And the only thing that we should really be concerned about is our feelings, how we feel about where we are and what we're doing, and listen to that. And if it goes against what another feels, that's okay. We can take that chain off and say, you know what? That's okay. It's okay that you disagree with me. You don't have to agree with me, but just love me anyway, because I love you. And we often think that these are relationships that we have to let go of or walk away from. And oftentimes they're not. The one instance where we do need to walk away and separate is when the relationship is abusive. And it really feels awful every single time we're around because it's abusive in one way or another. Well, if the environment is of kindness and respect, then everyone can learn to be more accepting. And that can happen when you're grateful for this kindness and respect that your family is showing you. And as an empath, I know it's a little bit more difficult because you're actually feeling how everyone feels about you, and it can be super uncomfortable. At the same time, empathy can be a curse or a gift. And I like to think of it as a gift because it's going to tell you the truth. It always tells you the truth. It will tell you through your feelings. It's such a wonderful gift. And through that, you can work on yourself, work on self-forgiveness and forgiveness of others. We're all here learning this one. I've been talking about this a lot lately. And isn't it interesting that it is quite the theme at church? Well, should be, because this was one of Jesus's most significant messages, forgiveness. And everyone who goes to church should hear that message. And so if Jesus preached forgiveness, then don't you think that his followers should be pretty forgiving as well? So I think the best way for you to handle this situation is through loving gratitude and forgiveness and acceptance. The more you accept yourself for where you are, your parents for where they are, the church for where it is, forgive them for what they do because they don't know any better, and forgive yourself for whatever you did in the past that you aren't so proud of, that's all right. You didn't know any better either. We're all just here learning, and not a single one of us is perfect. We're all perfectly imperfect, and we're all just here stumbling our way around trying to figure it out. My clients' higher selves are always told when there is this type of headbutting in terms of beliefs and ways that people should live and how the parents are putting these shoulds on the children, or how the children are putting the shoulds on the parents, thinking that the parents should be more aware like they are. And the higher self always says, hey, listen, give them a break. They grew up differently than you did. This was their experience. These were their traumas. This was difficult for them. And this is what they learned. And so this is their book, their handbasket, their bag of stuff that they know. And so this is what they have to work with. And this is all they can do. They don't know any better. You cannot take someone in a place like that and smack them around and wake them up. Because what it will do ultimately is completely dishevel them. And no one's higher self wants a person's soul to be disrupted in that way. It's like fraying an electrical outlet, like blowing a fuse. And so to wake someone up more quickly than they are ready for is very disturbing to their energy system. And it's really important for us to allow each and every person to develop along their path in the time frame that they are developing, because everyone will get there. We all get there. Some of us, Dolores Cannon used to say this all the time, some of us go a little faster, and some of us take a little longer, but it doesn't matter because we all get there. And so keeping that in mind, they'll get there. They don't need to be on your level at your speed because you came to teach them. You're the teacher. The teacher can't expect the student to be on their level. And so thinking about it that way helps us even to have a bit more acceptance of where they're at, knowing that you came to teach them and to be the best example that you can be for them, to be loving and accepting of them where they're at and standing on your own 2 feet in your strength and saying, this is how I feel. This is how I want to live my life. These are my boundaries. This is what's okay for me. And this is what's not okay for me. And I love you guys. And I want you to be my family still because I love you, if that's how you feel. And if that's not how you feel, it's okay to not spend as much time with them. But to completely burn a bridge and not be a part of the family anymore, I don't think that's the answer either. The answer is always more love, more forgiveness, more gratitude, more acceptance. And the more we understand and accept each other more, the more love we all have, the more love we can share. Remember, you are their teacher. We can also never take on the responsibility of how another person feels. The only thing that we can do is take the responsibility for how we feel and live our life according to those feelings. How someone else feels about that is on them, and it is not your responsibility. This is something I see a whole lot. We don't want to hurt anyone, and that is a very loving and noble gesture. At the same time, to think about it like this, we're hurting them more by not doing our job. We came to do this job to teach them loving acceptance. And in order for them to learn that, we need to stand up tall and strong and live in our passions and do the things that we think is right for us along our path. And how anybody else feels about it is okay. And if you can stand in that loving acceptance with strength and courage in this loving way, then you're going to teach them a whole lot. They will get over it. They will absolutely get over it because the overriding theme is your parents love you. All of our parents love us. No matter how awful they were, they love us as much as they possibly can with what they have, with what's in their bag. They've tried. This is such a big thing to remember. I've never had a client's higher self tell them that their parents did not love them, no matter how awful that parent was. They love them in their own way. They just didn't know any better. And everybody's here learning forgiveness. I think that is going to do it for me today, everyone. Paige, I hope that was helpful. Love everyone. Love is the answer. Now, what was the question? I'm going to leave you all with this song for today by Wookiefoot. Don't shut on me. Until next time, I love you all.
Mind goes with a should do this and a should do that. Everybody's just trying to do good, but how many shoulds would a good man say? If he could stop, would he stop shoulds? Oh my friend, for the wounds to mend, there's only one thing we should do. Don't you should on me, and I won't drop my shoulds on you. We'll be right back. in our numbskulls, like a spark in the dark cave where the lights and sound waves paves a way to mental higher ground. All the little thoughts we collect, turn them into bricks with the intellect. Build a tower in your hypothalamus and cortex, our own fortress in the cerebellum. We can carry our convictions to the roof and yell them at the top of our lungs, standing on the top rung. Should as it should, maybe sounds absurd, but should could be heard almost every other word. When you should on your friends, it's bad for the health, but you gotta be careful not to should on yourself. These towers of Babel all inevitably fall, with cracks in the wall and the building implode. From the wreckage and the rubble, we rebuild another bubble, cause that's the way the monkey mind goes. With the should do this and the should do that, everybody's just trying to do good. But how many shoulds would a good man say? If he could stop, would he stop shoulds? Oh, my friend, for the wounds to mend, there's only one thing we should do.